Have you ever had one of those moments where you hear yourself saying something that you never thought you would say? I had one of those moments last Sunday. Now, if you remember, last Sunday's weather was perfect. Not like yesterday, it was all rainy and cloudy and yuck outside, but it was perfect. And we got home from church last week, and my kids said to me, "We want to go outside and play." And I heard myself saying to them, "No, you can't go outside and play. You have to stay inside and watch a movie." What? What parent ever says that to their children, right? You can't go out and play. You have to stay in and watch a movie? Well, the larger story helps a little bit. So I usually take a nap on Sunday afternoons, and Rebecca was out of town, so I needed some way to keep my kids safe and accounted for while I was sleeping. So I sent them down to the basement to watch a movie instead of going outside to play. But still, when do we ever do that, right? I mean, it ranks right up there with the time that Rebecca said to our children, "No, you can't have any water. You have to drink more soda." What parent says that either, right? Now, again, the larger story helps a little bit. We were at the St. Louis Zoo, and for whatever reason, their water fountains are hidden somewhere. And so even though we'd brought water in with us, by lunchtime, that water was pretty much gone. And we'd gotten a big soda with our lunch, and we wanted them to drink that so we could save that last little bit of water for later on in the day. But still, drink water, drink soda and not water? Who says that, right? Well, the reason I bring that up is that today in our epistle reading from Romans, Paul says some words that you never expected Paul to ever say. Today, Paul says this. He says, "I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ." Wait a minute. I mean, this is Paul. This is the guy who spent his entire life traveling around from place to place to place to tell people they didn't even know about the love of Jesus. This is the guy who was chased out of many of those towns because people didn't like his message, who was arrested, who was beaten, who was stoned and left for dead, all for the sake of Jesus. And now Paul says, "I could wish myself accursed and cut off from Christ." What? He says, "I could wish myself accursed and cut off for Christ for the sake of his brothers." But still, I mean, I love you guys, but I'm not sure I want to give up my eternal salvation for you. Why is Paul saying this? How can he say these words? Well, again, the larger story helps a little bit as we try to make sense of what he's saying. And the larger story is this, is that the Emperor Claudius was trying to contain some civil unrest in the city of Rome. And so his solution, as was the solution of many other emperors before him, was to make a scapegoat out of the Jews. And so 5 years prior to the writing of this, Emperor Claudius had expelled all of the Jews from Rome. Now, the expulsion was limited to the city of Rome. It was limited to just the Jews, and it was limited to his lifetime. So when he died, his expulsion died with him. And so 5 years later, this group of Jews is coming back into the city of Rome. Paul's concerned about the reception they're going to receive, because the church started out as this group of Jewish believers who recognized that Jesus was the promised Messiah they'd been waiting for ages. And included in that group of Jewish believers were a few Gentile converts. Well, in the 5 years the Jews had been expelled, the church had grown rapidly, and now you have this Gentile church with people in leadership who are all Gentiles, who developed this very Gentile flavor to this church. And now this group of Jews is coming back in, and Paul is concerned how these Jewish believers are going to be received by the Gentile believers in the city of Rome. Jews who were formerly the leaders now come back into a church where there are leaders who know nothing about them and their history and what they've done. How will these two groups meet? And will the church receive back these Jewish believers? Paul is also concerned about the Jews who don't believe. And Paul knows very well that it's not that you're not saved just because of your ethnic origin. It's not just the biological children of Abraham. But he says a few verses later, it's not all are children of Abraham because they are his offspring, but only the children of the promise are counted as offspring. Only those who believe in Jesus are counted as offspring of Abraham, are counted as part of the children of God who will be saved. And even though Paul calls himself the apostle to the Gentiles, he's still a Jew himself, and he still cares very deeply for the Jewish people, and he wants those who don't know Jesus to come to know him and to find the salvation that is only available through Jesus. So that larger story explains some of Paul's words when he says that he could wish himself accursed and cut off from Christ. But there's an even larger story going on in our reading today. Paul has in mind here God's greater story. This is the story of God's plan of salvation. This is a story that Paul has been weaving throughout his entire letter to the Romans. If you go back to the very beginning of this series, we started in Romans chapter 7, and we talked about this internal struggle between sinner and saint, this struggle with sin that goes on within us our entire life long. It's part of this larger story of God's salvation that he's working in the world. Go on to last week. We talked about God ruling over the ruins of this world, the destruction, the pain, the brokenness that's been brought into our world because of sin. And yet God is in control. That sin has not done away with his control over the world. Paul has this larger story in mind, this story that's been running from the very first moment of creation when God created this beautiful world to that first moment of the fall when Adam and Eve rebelled against God, to the first promise of a Savior in Genesis 3, all the way through the rest of the book, this great story of God's salvation and how he's been working to care for us and love us and redeem us and bring us back into a relationship with God. This is God's greater story, God's work in the world to seek out the lost and to save us and redeem us. The reason Paul can say that he can see himself and wish himself accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of his brothers is because he has this larger story of God in mind. After all, this is what Jesus did for us. Part of God's greater story, the climax of God's greater story, is when he sends his son Jesus down into this earth to live among us and to share this story with us, and then to go to the cross for us. You see, Paul says earlier in Romans 3, that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Sin brings death. In order for Jesus to give us that gift of eternal life, he had to pay that consequence. And so Jesus went to the cross, and there on the cross, he takes all of the weight of the world's sin upon himself so that when he dies on the cross, he pays a penalty for that sin. But Jesus is there on the cross, and he's hanging. What does he cry out? My God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus so feels the weight of that sin pressing down on him that he feels himself accursed and cut off from God. See, sin is selfishness. Sin is being turned in on ourselves. Sin is pursuing ourselves above anyone else, rebelling against God, doing things that will hurt other people. It's selfishness. And Jesus, in this one moment of great selflessness, overcomes all of our selfishness and brings us back into a relationship with God. This is what Jesus did for us. He allowed himself to be cursed and cut off from God so that we might be reconciled back to God through that selfless act. So let me turn now to another phrase of Paul that you might not expect Paul to say. Paul says several times throughout his writings, imitate me. Now, again, if you've read Paul and you understand his purpose of what he's trying to say, and he's trying to point people to Jesus, you would expect him to say, imitate Christ, not imitate me. I remember the first time I came across one of these passages that really struck me. I was a new pastor at my first call, and I read in Philippians 3:4, it says, brothers, join in imitating me. I thought, that can't be right. So I broke out all of my newly minted pastor skills from the seminary, right? Go back to the original Greek, break out all the lexicons, break out all of the commentaries, go translate this passage for myself, and what do I find? But lo and behold, the translators of the Bible actually knew what they were doing. And it actually does say, join in imitating me. Well, how can Paul say that? Well, Paul can say that because he is imitating Christ. Paul says, I can wish myself accursed and cut off from Christ precisely because he is imitating Christ and what Christ did for us on the cross. And paradoxically, in that moment of Paul wishing to be cut off from Christ, he's actually becoming the most like Christ and connected to Christ that he can be. And so Paul can say, imitate me, because he's imitating Christ. That's exactly what he says in 1 Corinthians 11. He says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. And so that's what Paul is doing today in our readings. He's imitating Christ. And that's what Paul is calling us to. That's the call of the Christian life, to live into God's greater story, to imitate Paul and so many others as they're imitating Christ. And it's to imitate Christ so completely that you and I can say to someone else who doesn't know Jesus, imitate me, because when you're imitating me, you're going to be seeing Christ because I'm imitating him that completely. That's a bold call, isn't it? But that's what Christ calls us to do, to know this story so well, to be living into this great story so completely that we're imitating Christ and we can tell others to imitate us because we're imitating Christ and they're seeing him in us. So what does it look like? What does it look like for us to live into that great story and be imitating Christ? It looks like this. So living into God's greater story, the first thing is to treasure the gift of grace. To treasure this incredible gift, this incredibly selfless act that Christ performed for us on the cross of giving up his life to pay the penalty of sin that we deserve, to die in our place so that we might not die eternally. That this free gift of grace is something we have not earned, we can't earn, we will never earn. But Christ gave it all. He gave up himself for us that we might receive his love and his forgiveness and his grace. To remember this gift and to live our lives in mind that this is truly a gift, that God has given us everything that we could possibly need in our life, and to treasure it always. The second thing then, as you live into this greater story, is to treasure the gift of community. You see, selfishness separates us from others and it puts up these walls. God's love brings us back together. God has designed us for community. This faith that he's called us into, this gift of faith that he's given to us, it's not just a private individualistic faith where we live by ourselves, just me and Jesus. It's a faith that brings us into connection with a body of believers who are gathered together by his grace. We're intended to live our lives of faith together. We are intended to meet together, to pray together, to bear one another's burdens together, even when our sin rises up and we find ourselves in conflict with these other believers. We're called, because of this gift God has given to us, to live into this community and resolve those conflicts and walk together in faith. This is a gift that God has given to us. Finally, as you live into God's greater story, treasure those who are outside the faith. I mean, Jesus Christ came for those who were far apart from God. Paul has this deep concern for his Jewish brothers and sisters who don't yet believe in Jesus. The gift is not just for us and our community here to hold on to. The gift of faith is for us to share with others so that they too can receive this limitless gift that Christ has for them and experience the peace and the joy and the healing that comes for it. That's what we do when we are imitating Christ and living selfless lives rather than selfish lives. So as you go out today and throughout these weeks ahead, keep in mind God's greater story. You just might find yourself saying things and doing things you never expected. Amen.